I am reading from the 11th chapter of Mark, and I'm going to just use the 22nd verse as a text. Jesus answering said unto them, and I'll use this as a topic as well, have faith in God. That'll sum it up. But this whole chapter is dealing with man. I was studying this afternoon. I broke this up into three parts. In the very beginning of this chapter, Jesus sends his disciples on a mission to find a colt, the foal of an ass that no man has ridden upon. He says, you'll go into this certain town and you will find him tied up. He said, loose him and bring him to me. And if any man stops you from doing what I told you to do, you tell him that I have need of him. And then he tells the story of riding into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. And I want to use this expression. God, I believe, is not just sending these disciples to get this foal of an ass, but I believe that he is trying to teach his disciples something from this particular thought, that before he can use you, not just an animal, but before he can use a man, you have to be loosed and you have to be set free. Hallelujah. This is the reason why God sent me to Charlotte. This is why he sends me to New York and to Los Angeles and Dallas. I lay hands on people because he said, whatever I loose on earth, he will loose it in heaven. And if anybody asks me what I'm doing, I say, the Lord hath need of you. God can't use you tied up. You need to be liberated and set free by the power of the living Christ. Can you shout praise the Lord? Somebody said, but preacher, I am set free. I'm set free from sin. I am a Christian. Jesus has most of his problems with church folks. Don't you all get mad at me now, but some of the greatest troubles he ever had, he got from the church. He said to Peter and his disciples on one occasion, why is it you don't have any faith? But here comes a captain in the Roman army, and he says to the man, great is thy faith. He says to the church folks, why is it you don't have any faith? And here comes a little Syrophoenician woman, and he said, woman, great is thy faith. Whatever you want, it is already done. You got it. Have faith in God. And I believe that Jesus was trying to get down to the nitty-gritty for every one of us who are church people. You might have been delivered from your sin, but there's still things that are hanging on that you need to be delivered from before God can use you. One of them is mentioned here. In this verse of scripture that I read, let me read some more of it. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. He's talking to his people now. And many of you who are listening to me on radio, you have many doubts in your heart. It is impossible for you to put your faith to work if doubts are there. Doubts and unbelief and fear. I call these the Siamese triplets. Those demon spirits that harass the people of God, dropping fear into your heart. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Can you shout amen with me, somebody? Hallelujah. And the devil knows that you cannot put faith to work unless, or rather, you can't put faith to work if fear is present. And it's the devil's job to put fear in your heart whenever you begin to put your faith to work. Peter, the apostle, the one that Jesus handpicked, all the disciples were in a ship, if you recall. And Jesus missed the last boat. And he told those disciples, I'll meet you on the other side. And when he says something, he's got to bring it to pass. And there was no boat that was leaving. So Jesus did the next best thing and walked on the water. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he caught up to the ship where the disciples were, and they saw him coming on the water, and they said, look, it's Jesus. They said, no, that ain't him. It looks like him, but it ain't him. Peter said, I know how I can tell whether it's him or not. And he got the edge of that boat and said, hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out there where you are. And all Jesus said was, come. Peter didn't have a lick of sense, but put them number 12s outside the boat. And he started walking on the water. I said he started walking on the water. I said he started walking on the water. I've never heard a preacher preach that Peter walked on water. We always preach that he sank. Well, if you sink, it means you got to be on top. Peter walked on that water. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he stayed on top. But the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. What did Jesus say to him, Peter? Wherefore didst thou doubt? There it is. Which means that the moment you release your faith, the moment you begin to trust God, all hell is going to break loose against you to plant fear in your mind, doubts in your heart, unbelief to keep you from the promise. But you've got to hang in there and hold on to the horns of the altar. He that hath performed a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! If you are here tonight bound with a spirit of fear, I've got power to set you free. If you're bound with doubts, I can destroy that yoke. Jesus said, whatever I loose here on earth, he will loose it in heaven. And whatever I bind on earth, he will bind it in heaven. God wants us to learn how to put our faith to work, but we've got to get rid of our fear and our doubt and our unbelief. Can you shout yes? Yes? The Lord hath need of thee. A lot of our pulpits are filled with preachers that weren't sent. They just went. Are you listening to me? They stand behind the pulpit and say that divine healing is not for today. They're always attributing it to a bygone era. But my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did yesterday, he's got to do today. And what he does today, he'll do tomorrow. Hallelujah. And when you're sent from God, you're sent to preach that word without fear, without doubt. God said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're not the healer, you're the prayer. Lay your hands on them. And when you lay hands on them, God said, I'll raise them up without fear, without doubt, without unbelief. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. Loose him and let him go. And tonight I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to command the devil to turn you loose because the Lord hath need of you. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord? I'm reading from the 11th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. have faith in God. I'll tell you, he's not asking us to do something he didn't put to work. In this same chapter, it's not enough to loose him. The next step is to cleanse him. Somebody says, well, I thought I was cleansed. Yeah, well, there's another one you need. Thank God your sins are gone. God reached down and picked you up out of the mess. Now he wants to get the mess out of you. Don't you turn that radio off now. Keep it on. Some of you folks are saved. Thank God you got to Calvary. He snatched you from the burning flames of hell. And you say you got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. But before God can use you, he's got to clean you up on the inside. Come on, shout amen with me. Now, this is the message some of you don't want to hear, but it's either holiness or hell, and I'm going to come right down the line with it. I'm talking about old-fashioned sanctification. Sanctification means you're separated from the world. You're set apart for the work of God, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Three things that has to do with sanctification. This is the only kind of people that Jesus can use. Hear me. What did Jesus do after he rode into Jerusalem? He went right to the temple. I said right to the temple. Do you know what they were doing in that temple? Selling doves. Exchanging money. Having bingo. Selling fried chicken dinners. Having barbecue in the church. That's what they were doing. Now, I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. The first thing Jesus did was get a homemade whip, and he drove them money changers out of the temple. Turned the tables over of them that sold doves, and he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then people write to me and say, how come our church don't have miracles? If Jesus paid a visit to your church, the first thing he'd do would clean it up and drive out the thieves out of the church. Come on, shout amen with me. Now, I know some of you church folks don't like to hear this. You like preachers that get on sinners. But before we can get the sinners saved, we got to clean up our own mess in the church. Judgment begins in the house of God. Shout amen with me, somebody. Hallelujah. Drove them out of church. God didn't call the church to sell fried chicken. He raised up the colonel to do that. Let the colonel sell the chicken. My God, he raised up the church to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to bring deliverance to people that are in bondage. It's time we have a revival in the church. It's time to get cleaned up. Shout yes! Hallelujah! Woo! Yeah, you're shouting now. You like it when I get on the church. Now I'm going to bring a little closer to home. Now I'm going to bring it down to you, honey. You're the one I'm after tonight. This body is the temple of God. I ain't talking about no church now. I'm talking about God's temple. God is looking for a vehicle to channel his power through it. Are you listening to me? Some of you people in the church, you got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You sing Amazing Grace on Sunday and do the bebop on Monday. Come on, shout amen, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You shout hallelujah on Sunday and you curse and swear on the job Monday through Saturday. No wonder there ain't no power in the church. The vessel is not clean. We need a revival. This is the temple of God and God wants to clean it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you deacons in the church, you can't even sit through a Sunday morning service without getting a nicotine fit. You got to run outside the church and take a few drags on that cigarette. Can't even sit for an hour to hear the gospel preach. And you wonder why the power of God isn't channeled through your life. It's time to get cleaned up. I said it's time to get cleaned up. It's time to get cleaned up. Some of you come home from work and sip your cocktails and get your bottle beer out to drink it while you're watching Monday night football. Come on, shout amen with me, somebody. It's time to clean up the vessel. God wants to channel His power through a temple that is clean. Hear me. There's a lot of singers out in the world that got their start in church, singing gospel songs, and they sold out to the devil. I said they sold out to the devil. They're entertaining the crowds out in the world and come into the church to entertain the church. God didn't call nobody to entertain the church. We come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. My God, we need a revival of His power channeling through individuals. These signs shall follow them that believe. But before you can have signs following you, you got to come out from the world. You can't tell the world from the church today. The world looks like the church. The church acts like the world. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. Jesus said, come out from the world. Be separated. Touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you unto myself. And He'll channel His power through you when He cleans up this vessel. Hallelujah. If you can't holler amen, holler ouch. Hear me. Separated from the world and set apart. Set apart for the work of God. God called you for a purpose. God wants your body. I'm still getting ready to preach a sermon on that. God wants your body. The devil wants it too. The devil wants it for alcohol. The devil wants it for tobacco. The devil wants it for adultery. The devil wants it for fornication. Are you listening to me? The devil's making a bid for your body. Not only your body, but he wants your soul. But God wants your body. He wants to channel His power through you so that you can lay hands on the sick, so that you can cast out devils, so you can open prison doors to them that are bound. He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you shout amen? Won't you hand me that? You say, this is my body. No, it ain't, honey. You've been bought. You've been bought with a price. When I joined the Navy said to me, you belong to me now, mister. $50 a month. You do what I tell you to do. You go to bed when I say go to bed, and you wake up when I say wake up. When I say hit the road, you hit it. I come to tell you, Jesus Christ bought that body. I said He bought it. He bought you with a price. You belong to Him, and He wants to fill it with the Holy Ghost so He can channel His power through you so that you can be a blessing to the world. It's time for revival. I said it's time for revival. Raise both hands and shout yes. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know whether we're going to make it 10 days around here. You folks kill a preacher around here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm reading from the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 22. Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Hallelujah. And He showed them how to do it. He showed them how to put it to work. Said He saw a fig tree afar off, hoping to find some fruit on it. So he went over to that fig tree. But when he got there, there was no fruit. Wasn't supposed to be no fruit. The Bible says it wasn't the time for figs. He went right to that tree. And he said, I curse you. Ain't no man going to eat from you from this day on forever. The Bible says, and his disciples heard it. Are you listening to me? They thought he flipped his wig. 20 cents short. Talking to trees now. They always thought he was eccentric. I can picture one of the disciples saying he better stick to blind eyes. He tells them to open, they come open. He tells trees to die and they just stand there. Ain't nobody shouted. And then he went into Bethany and cleansed the temple. And then he came back the next day, 24 hours later. This is it. And the tree is lying on its side. Dead from the roots up. Peter got one of them Pentecostal spasms. Started dancing. You know why he was dancing? Because he could see a miracle. Just like all you Pentecostal folks. You ain't going to shout unless you see something. See, he's trying to teach them something now. And Peter and them disciples started shouting and praising God. And Jesus stopped them and said, have faith in God. And the literal translation of that is, you can have the faith of God or God's faith. You can do it. When I lay hands on a cancer victim and they're healed, that's not Shambach doing it. That's the faith of God at work. You listen to me? So you ain't got nothing to brag about. It ain't you, honey. I had a preacher come to me in Phoenix, shook my hand and said, I'm a healer too. Oh, I said, that's two of you I know, Jesus and you. I said, tell me your name. I'd like to remember it. Well, he says, you know what I mean. I said, I don't know what you mean. I just know what you said. That's all. There ain't but one healer and his name is?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
You see, we ain't nothing. We must decrease, but he must increase. Jesus is showing them how to work it. See, it may not happen right away. But even if it don't, it's done anyway. Because you spoke the word of faith. And he said, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God or have God's faith. And then he said, do you see that mountain? If you speak to the mountain and say, mountain, be thou cast into the sea. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain has to obey your words. That's faith. And then he puts it on the line. Hear me now, beloved, every one of you listening to this broadcast. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. When you pray, you're speaking. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Somebody says, but I don't feel no different. You ain't supposed to yet. Believe you receive them. But I can't see no difference. Believe you receive them. And when you believe you receive it, then you shall have it. That is faith. And Jesus showed them how to do it when he cursed the fig tree. But it didn't die till 24 hours later, lying on its side. Can you shout amen with me, somebody? Many of you people have been cheated out of your blessing before you left the church, before you left the meeting, because there was no evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. It's the evidence of things hoped for. Evidence of things. How come you want to see it then? Not seen. Not seen. Not seen. It's done. I call it done. In the name of Jesus. When I lay hands on a tumor in the name of Jesus, I talk to that thing. You just like you talk to the mountain. I say, tumor, in the name of Jesus, I curse you at the roots. Die and pass from this body. in Jesus' name. And he has to respect anything I say in the name of Jesus, because this is the key that unlocks the answer. Can you shout amen with me, somebody? There's power in that name. Have faith in God. Now, when I pray, I expect it to be done right away. If I see it, I shout. If I don't see it, I shout. Done anyhow. Can you shout amen? I'm in sales. He's in management. Sometimes you got to wait 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Did you ever see that on your television screen? Amen. But sometimes you get special delivery. And sometimes he says, before you call, I will answer. And while you're yet speaking, I'll say, here I am. I don't care when it comes. All I know is it's done. I got it. I got it. I got it. The miracle belongs to me. Can you shout praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the angel Gabriel came down to Mary in the first chapter of Luke, I believe it is, he said, Hail Mary, thou hast found favor in the sight of the Lord. You're going to bring forth a child, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. She said, Hold it, Mr. Angel. Just one question. How can this thing be, seeing I don't know no man? Gabriel said, Good question, girl. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called Jesus. And he'll save his people from their sin. You know what she said? She didn't doubt him one bit. She looked at the angel Gabriel and said, Be it unto the handmaiden of the Lord according to your word. Hallelujah. She said, Now go on, angel, get out of here. I got to go over and see my cousin Elizabeth. Because she's expecting. She's 6 months pregnant, and I want to let her know that I'm going to have a baby too. Hallelujah. She went over and told Elizabeth, Guess what, Lizzie? I'm going to have a baby. She said, Shut up and come inside here, woman. What's wrong with you? You ain't got no husband. She said, I don't need one. The angel said, The Holy Ghost is going to come upon me. And I'm going to call his name Jesus. And when she said Jesus, John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost on the inside of Elizabeth and did a somersault on the inside. I said, There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Have faith in God. And when I pray the prayer of faith for every one of you that are listening today, you that are here tonight, you are going to have your miracle. Raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me.
Part of an anointed partner meeting with the Shambox. If you would like more information, feel free to contact the Shambox at www.schambach.org. That's www.shambach.org. If you are in need of a power prayer partner to pray with you any day of the week from 8 to midnight Central Time, call 903-825-9361. Again, that number is 903-825-9361.